Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Alleluia. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We had hope. Now we do not. It's gone. It died on a cross. So it was for those two men walking, trudging back to Emmaus. Maybe the seven longest miles of their lives. Two of them, Luke says, two disciples of Jesus. Two who knew him, or thought they did. We had hope. Now we do not. Their hopes are dashed. No, shattered. No, obliterated. The kind of obliteration there's no coming back from. Crushing. Death does that. You probably know something of that. If it hasn't happened to you, you've probably seen it happen to someone else. When I was in seminary, my second year, a fourth year student, Ray, just a couple of months from receiving his call, graduating and becoming a pastor, was killed in a car crash right at the front gate of the seminary. His fiancée in the car with him survived, but was critically injured. We had hoped. Marriages start with great hope and joy and celebration. Till death us do part. The hope of children, a future, and a life together. But how many end too soon? From death, from sin, from selfishness. We had hoped. And we could say the same thing about many careers, friendships, churches, dreams. The detritus of shattered lives all around us. Bits and pieces of hopes and dreams. No one wants to be that man on the median begging for money. No one wants to be a single mom. No one thinks it will happen to them. We hoped. And we wonder why. Why do these things happen? Sometimes there's an answer, fault, blame. Sometimes there's not. Either way, we think we just have to make the best of it. But really? Is that really the life God wants for you? A life where you just have to make the best of it? Trudging. Slogging along. For those two men trudging back to Emmaus, there was no best of it to be had. There was no picking up these pieces. They had to figure out life again. They thought, they hoped. Now they need new thoughts and a new hope. But what can compare to this one? What could replace this one that the Messiah had come? Nothing else will measure up or even come close. Or so they thought. They had a lot of confusion too, compounding things in their rattled brains. the report of the women, an empty tomb, a vision of angels. But that's what often happens with tragedies or major events. Lots of rumors, stories, reports swirling around, many of which later turn out not to be true. We have to wait for the dust to settle, the investigation to take place. Then the truth will come out. They weren't there yet. Still too much dust in the air, too much confusion, too much pain. We had hoped. We had hope. Now we do not. So Jesus cuts through it all the hopelessness and confusion, but not just by appearing to them and giving them a glimpse of him alive. The time for that would come. But first, giving them something more steadfast and reliable than that. Something old that wasn't like the many and varied reports coming in that may or may not be true. Something that wouldn't change because it couldn't change. Jesus gives them the Word of God. The Word written long before this that not only said all this was going to happen, but that it had to happen this way. That it was necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory. That he had to die and rise from the dead. This was known, as we heard Peter write in his epistle, from before the foundation of the world. And then revealed by God through the prophets. Now it has happened. God did it, so why are you surprised? Why are you dismayed? Why are you not rejoicing? Well, you know why. It's hard. They're conflicted. They want to believe. They want to hear more. But once your hopes get shattered, it's hard to hope again. Don't get fooled again. Once bitten, twice shy. So stay with us, stranger. Teach us more. Renew our hope. And Jesus does. But just for a moment. For now that he has revealed himself to them in the words of the prophets, now he reveals himself to them in the breaking of the bread. Not as proof, but as confirmation that the Word of God was true and right all along. So that their faith and hope are firmly anchored, not in what they see, but in the Word of God. The Word of God that will last. For the Word of the Lord endures forever. This is what we must learn as well. For us, if we see the detritus of shattered lives all around us, bits and pieces of hopes and dreams, even our own, why are we surprised? If we are hurt, if there is pain, if we are sinned against, if there is persecution, opposition, evil in the world, if we are betrayed, shoved aside, used, did not the Word of God say this would happen? Jesus himself said so. If they hate me, they will hate you. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you. The evil one will try to deceive you and mislead you. He will attack and harass you. He will give you no peace. Jesus himself said so. So why are we surprised when he does? Well, maybe it's not so much the what as the who. When we thought those we could trust, we could rely on, are the ones doing the hurting and the betraying. And then realize, I've done it too. I've hurt. I've betrayed. I've failed. I've sinned against my loved ones. I've done the shattering too. There's only one who never did. The one who saw the detritus of this world, all the shattered lives, all the broken pieces, who looked around and saw a world harassed and helpless, wounded people like sheep without a shepherd. And so came to be that shepherd. To pick up all those shattered pieces, all the dry bones, and renew our hope. So that for all the shattering that you've done, to say to you, I forgive you. So that for your wounded souls, to say to you, I love you. For the betrayal you've suffered, to say to you, I will never leave you or forsake you. To take your shame away from you and make it his. To wash away your uncleanness. And to feed your hungering and thirsting soul with his own body and blood. To restore hope. Not just to a broken and fallen world, but to broken and fallen you. Hope even while we are walking through this world, or slogging along, or trudging along, like those disciples. Jesus didn't immediately reveal himself to them and make their aching hearts magically go away. And he doesn't make all our troubles magically go away either. So that's what we want. But he walked with them, and he stayed with them, and he gave them what they needed, though they didn't realize it at the time. And he does for us too. We know what we want, but he knows what we need. The day will come when Jesus will reveal himself to our eyes. And we will arrive and feast at his eternal table. That day will come, but is not yet. We're still on the journey right now. And on that journey, there will be days of pain and days of joy. There will be days when we are strong and days when we are weak. Days of happiness and days when the challenges seem too much for us. Don't be surprised. It was that way for the patriarchs, prophets, and apostles too. But through it all, they were never alone. And as a baptized child of God, baptized into Jesus, you are not and will not be either. You cannot be. For Jesus is risen from the dead and has given you his Spirit. Maybe your sin will make you doubt that. Maybe like those two disciples on the road, Jesus will hide himself from you for a moment. But he was there all along. So as Jesus taught those two disciples, don't believe what you see or feel or the reports coming out of the world swirling around that God is irrelevant or outdated or a myth or dead. You have the word of truth. And the one who said he would die and rise and did so for you. So that we never have to say, we had hoped. We had hope. Now we do not. Instead, we say, Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
And we rejoice. Rejoice that we are children of God even when it's hard. Even in the midst of an evil and constantly changing and shifting and uncertain world and people who let us down and when we let ourselves down and our hope is not here. In this, our hope and faith and life are in God. In the empty tomb and all his words and promises fulfilled for us by that stranger. But a stranger no more, walking on the road to Emmaus. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.